ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 154 of the report, and right now we are chilling out with some Yuna, man. Yuna, best love, man. Check this out. Rock with your boy.
I guess it's not too much to ask if you feel the same. We can build something that will last.
Yes, indeed, man. We are chilling, man. That's some smooth shit right there, man. I came across that, man, just letting the Google Play Music kind of like do its thing. It randomized some shit for me, and it was like, oh, I was in the car listening to this. Like, oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. So that's Yuna, man. That's off of, I don't know if this is an EP or just a single. It comes off Chapters Deluxe, man. So check that out if and when you get the chance, man. I like that shit, man. It's smooth as hell. But, yeah, man, we're back. Back to our regularly scheduled thing, man. We are doing this twice a week. Today is Thursday. We're going to be doing it again Sunday. I am no longer, like, going out of town anytime soon. So, you know, and I'm done moving pretty much, man. Got everything up in this place. So, yeah, man, we are back to the grind, man. Back to doing what we do here at the Span Report. Back to talking about the shit that we care about, right? So, yeah, man, I am on Crowdcast now, man. So for those of you who want to catch the shows live, man, subscribe to the show on Crowdcast, man. Get those email alerts when I go live, man. And you know, you can catch the show live. You can call into the show. The phone lines are going to be open on this show. So if you, if you're listening to this later, it doesn't matter. But for those of you who want to be a part of the conversations that we're having here at the Span Report, man, the phone lines will be open as we do the show. Crowdcast, I have a little bit more control as to who can get in the room, who I can boot out of the room, and that kind of shit. Of course, you guys know what I was dealing with YouTube and the doxing and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, Crowdcast is a really good platform, and it's really good for podcasting. The chat room is great. You're able to ask me questions. You're able to watch the show. And, of course, like I said, man, you guys can call in the hotline, man, and be a part of the conversation here at the Spin Report. But before I get started, I got to let you guys know how to do that, how to get in touch with me here at the Spin Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play the voicemails on the show. And while we're doing the show live, man, you can call that exact same number and get in on the conversation that way as well, man. Also, hit me up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. feedback@thespanreport.com. That's how you get at me with the email, man. Send me those emails. Of course, you know I'll read those emails and respond to those here on the show as well, man. Also, chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week, man. Talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. You know what I mean? Also, subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play Music, on TuneIn Radio, pretty much everywhere, man. Just about everywhere, all of the major platforms, man. You can get thespanreport.com, man, and go to Stitcher and iTunes, man, and leave your boy a 5-star review, man. Those 5-star reviews help the show grow. It doesn't cost you a thing. And as a matter of fact, let me recognize a couple folks who did just that, man. Went to iTunes and left your boy some 5-star reviews, man. So let me go ahead and read these here. 5 stars from Digital704, man. They write in to say, I really enjoy this podcast. Mr. Span is really entertaining. Thank you. His knowledge of pop culture, politics, along with his cool personality makes for a great podcast. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the rating. I appreciate you taking the time to do that, man. Real talk. So thank you so much. Also, we got another 5-star review. This one comes in from Curious Geo 34. Curious Geo writes in to say, listen to you one day on the Black Guy Who Tipped. Shout out to Rod and Karen. Thought you were so dope that I decided to listen. Didn't disappoint. Keep up the good content. My love, the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those 5-star reviews, man. And again, 5-star reviews for podcasting, man, it really does help out. I mean, I know a lot of times, you know, you hear a lot of your podcasters, your favorite podcasters say this a lot. It really does help the show, man. It helps for other people to become aware of the podcast. You go, you know, you start seeing this podcast on certain charts. You start seeing this podcast displayed in certain categories in much more prominent ways, man. And it's a way for you to show your appreciation for all the work that the podcasters are putting in, man. I know a lot of times, a lot of podcasters, man, they make this look easy. You know, they make it look easy. It's a lot of hard work that goes into podcasting, man. So for those of you who don't, you know, who aren't inclined to donate, who aren't inclined to, you know, like spend any money, man. Like, I understand if a lot of folks can't do that, man. This is one way to do it. And you don't have to spend any money, man. But for those of you who do want to spend some money, and you do want to spend it with the Spare Report, man, you can do that. You know, you can go to thespareport.com, man. Go to www.thespareport.com and leave a donation, man, as often as you like and as much as you like. And, of course, every dime is appreciated here at the Spare Report, man, real talk. But, yeah, man, let's just get into this, man. Let's get into this show. Because I've been kind of amped over the last couple days, man. I couldn't wait to do this show, man. I couldn't, especially since the last show that I did. I wasn't really, I'm gonna be honest, and I don't know if you guys could tell if you listen to that later, man. I'm gonna be honest, man. I was not into it. I was out of it, man. Like, I had spent most of the day, like, doing, like, some last minute kind of moving stuff. I was, like, I had to shave, you know, I had to shave my head, shave my face. I was going on a trip to Chicago with my daughter for my my younger cousin. She just turned 16, so I was taking my daughter to a Sweet 16 party in Chicago, man. And I had some packing to do. I had a lot of things coming at me, man. It was like the end and the first of the month all coming at once. I had a lot of things coming at me, and I didn't record that show until real late. I was tired, man. And I know some of you may have been able to tell, man, from that last episode, but I got a little bit more energy tonight. Got a little bit more energy tonight, and we're going to talk about a few things, man. Now, one of the things that I kind of believe, man, and I know this isn't the most, This isn't the nicest thing to say. Let's just say that. What I'm about to say right now isn't the nicest thing to say, but this is something that has been kind of sticking in my craw. It's something that I've been thinking about for quite some time. I can't seem to get over it, but I see this all the time while I'm out working, man. And that thing is handicapped drivers. An aggressive handicapped driver in sports cars really get on my fucking nerves, man. I honestly feel like handicapped drivers and like aggressive handicapped drivers are like kind of tempting fate, right? It's like they don't have anything to lose. They don't feel like they got anything to lose. They feel like, yo, you know, things haven't already been kind of going my way. You know, this is my one opportunity to just say fuck the world. So I'm gonna get into this Challenger. I'm gonna get into this Charger. I'm gonna get into this what's another car everybody's getting? A Camaro. I'm going to get into this motherfucker and I'm going to be all over the road, man. Fuck everybody. Like, life has dealt me a bad hand. Fuck everybody, man. I feel like sometimes aggressive handicapped drivers get into the car and they're like, fuck it. They get into the car, they slide their Ray-Ban aviators on, and then they peel out of their motherfucking driveway, and they got the radio turned up, and that shit is blasting like. Heading in the twilight, spreading out her wings tonight. She got you jumping off the deck, shoving into overdrive. I feel like they ride out just like that. As soon as they get out of the motherfucking driveway, dog. Highway to the danger zone for real. For real. Now, let's say this. Sometimes those aggressive handicapped drivers aren't really handicapped, right? Some of those are people who got their cars registered in their mom or their dad's name, and their mom or their dad may legitimately be handicapped, and yet the tag is in their name, but it's their car. Like, it's like, it's my car, but it's in my mom or my daddy's name, and I got this handicapped plate, and I can get these coveted front parking spaces. You see that a lot. I got the handicapped plate, but I'm not really handicapped. It's in my mama and my daddy's name. I feel like that goes on a lot, man. I really do. I feel like people are gaming the system. I feel like people are gaming the system, man. So, yeah, man, that gets on my nerves. Because it's hard as hell to stop that big-ass truck I drive with the huge machinery that I am towing behind it. It's hard to stop my truck when some of these motherfuckers with handicap plates and he's aggressive at, they're driving really aggressive. And they cut me off, man. And it's hard to keep from like hitting the motherfucker. Real talk. So, yeah, man. Something that I was thinking about. Now, another thing I was kind of thinking about, man, randomly. I know it's like kind of early, but prom season is about to be upon us if it hasn't already started. And one of the things that I have noticed over the course of the last few years, man, is like there's been, you know, I guess with the advent of like social media and folks sharing their experiences, sharing their life with others. Is that I'm starting to notice, like, there's a big deal made about the proposal to prom. Like, prom proposals are, like, becoming, like, the thing. I remember, like, when I got asked, you know, the funny thing about when I went to prom, what was that, my senior prom, my aunt set that shit up. Like, one of my friends at the time, man, one of my best friends, she came over to the house to get her hair did, and my aunt was like, you know what, y'all should go to prom. I was like, all right. You know, and that was it. It was no big ass proposal or anything like that. But now, like, there's videos, like people are staging their prom proposals, like, you want to go to prom with me and all this other stuff. And it's funny, right? Because one of the things I'm noticing about prom now, man, is like it gets bigger. Like, the atmosphere around prom, the pomp and circumstances around prom has gotten bigger. So I remember when I went to prom, and of course I went to prom a long, 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 long time ago. But when I went to prom, man, like when we rented a car, like my grandmother rented me like a Ford Explorer. I got a Ford Explorer. And the only reason I got the Ford Explorer, I was going to get a Ford Taurus. It was going to be a burgundy Ford Taurus, right? Then we was at the rental car place and they told my grandmas, they said, you know, Mrs. Brown, you can get an SUV upgrade for no extra charge. And I'm like, yeah, grandma, get the SUV, because I got to drive the motherfucker, right? So they gave Granny the Explorer, and it was a white Ford Explorer, which matched my tux, man. My tux was white, so I was like, yeah, this is good, Granny. It matches my tux, because that burgundy-ass Taurus they was going to give me was going to be kind of shy. Now, I wasn't really excited about it, right? But now, I see folks are going out of their way. Like, they're renting Bentleys, they're renting Porsches, they're renting Maseratis, they're renting Lamborghinis, they're renting Jaguars. Like, I understand. This is the thing that this is one of the things that I was thinking about. I said, these parents, like a lot of these parents are the parents who grew up in the bling bling era of hip hop, right? We are the parents who grew up watching Puffy and Cash Money and Eminem and like all of these dudes who were Jay-Z. Like, we grew up watching these dudes floss on epic levels. And to some degree, I think some of these parents, man, are living vicariously through these kids, and they're trying to recreate their fucking hip-hop dreams through their parents with these fucking car rentals and these parties and these prom proposals and everything else. It's like, it's a big-ass extravaganza. It's a big-ass production, right? And trust me, I am not counting anybody's money, but that was one thing that I kind of took heed to. It was like, you know what? This makes perfect sense. Considering the parents in the era that we grew up in, this makes perfect sense that their kid would be going to prom in a goddamn Maserati. Right? So yeah, man, like people are turning their kid's prom into the music video of their dreams, man. And that's what's up, man. If you got it, man, go right on ahead and do it, man. Don't go, and the kids, I'm pretty sure the kids enjoy it, real talk. So yeah, man, I was thinking about that. That was something random that I was thinking about. Now, of course, we could, you know what, let's just get right into it, man. Let's get right into it. I got some other things that I'm going to talk to you about. Let me just say this. Let me not just say that. I don't know what the hell's going on with me tonight. I don't know what's up. But yeah, man, so Brian Pumper. Brian Pumper, man. Of course, some of you may be familiar with who Brian Pumper is. If you're listening to the Spare Report, I'm pretty sure some of us have pretty much know who he is. He's a porn star slash rapper. His most notable get as far as being a porn star was actually he broke Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. He brought her into the porn game, man. He did a movie with her or a scene with her, and that was all over the internet for some time. He came out with a song called Owen Is Shaved, and that was a kind of a joke for a long time. And Brian Pumper is the guy who Pastor Daryl Scott, you know, a lot of folks say Pastor Daryl Scott looks like Brian Pumper, right? If you know who Daryl Scott is, he's the preacher who's a Donald Trump supporter. He's always on CNN and Fox News and what have you, right? Out of Cleveland. And so Brian Pumper recently did a video where he's having sex with this woman. It looks like they're in a stairwell while they're doing it, and they're videotaping it. And while they're having sex, man, Brian Pumper cracks an egg on this woman's head and says, sometimes you just got to crack an egg on a hoe, right? And they continue to do it, right? Some of the most bizarre shit I've seen in my life. I'm like, well, what the fuck is this? This is some brand new shit. I have never thought to crack an egg on a woman while I was having sex with her. Not once have I ever thought about that. Not ever, right? I guess you can count that. You can chop that up to being creative, right? So apparently, this woman has a child and a baby's father. And this baby's father wasn't particularly happy with Brian Pumper for putting that video out of his baby's mom getting hit up in a stairwell with an egg in cracked on her head, right? So he wanted to go see Brian Pumper. He went to go see about him. He's like, you know what, man? I don't appreciate this shit. I'm going to go see about this motherfucker. He ain't got no business doing what he doing with my baby mama, right? So check this out, man. Let's see. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah, let's go ahead. I'm gonna share this with you guys. And let's see. Here he is, man. This is the guy. He's confronting Brian Pumper about that video, man. Check this out.
It's getting turned.
Swear to God, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
It's getting real turned. My nigga ain't playing. Oh man. Oh man. Oh man.
Now from here, it looks like the police are getting involved. Like the police are trying to move that guy along as Brian Pumper just stands there. But the police seem—I don't know if they're police or if they're just like, you know, park security or whatever. But they seem to be trying to move the guy along.
Who? What you talking about?
I'm talking about my.
He on him. He breaking. That nigga breaking. Oh, he breaking. That nigga breaking. Beep up. Don't let that nigga do it.
All right. Now, one thing, man, like those dudes look relatively young. Those dudes look relatively young, but you can't be out here like, goddamn, man. Like, here's the thing. One, I was really not expecting a guy of B Pumper, like Brian Pumper's stature, to run as fast as he was. Like, I normally don't see big dudes moving as swiftly as Brian Pumper did when he was running away from that guy. Brian Pumper was out there like, he was ghost, gone, out of there. he had the dope moves, right? He had the dope moves. But another thing, man, is for that child's daddy, or you know, for the baby father or whatever, man, I'm sorry, bro. Like, I wouldn't be wanting my boy like videotaping this encounter. And I wouldn't want everybody to know, like, if that was my kid's mom. I wouldn't want that to be like something that was out there about my kid's mom, right? To the point where I would make it a thing where I would get on social media or allow someone else on social media to videotape me in a confrontation with Brian Pumper. Also, at the end of the day, Brian Pumper really doesn't owe that guy anything, right? His beef is with his kid's mom. If they're even together, and if they aren't even together, then it's not a whole lot you can say or do about it. I understand, you know, to some degree, being upset that this may be out here and your child having to maybe one day see this. But at the end of the day, man, like, yo, you got to take this L, bro. You got to take this L. Going to confront him in the park and talk about how you want to kill him and everything else for something that she was willing to participate in, man. Like, you got to take this L, bro. You just got to roll with that. Like, that's just how it is. So, yeah, man, I thought that was a little humorous to see Brian Pumper move in the ways that he was moving. Because, like I said, Brian Pumper was... He was out of there, yo. You got to see that video, man. I'm going to have it available on thespanreport.com, man. So you guys can check that out for yourselves. Now, another bit of news has come out as of late, man. Now, of course, Sage Steele. I was really going to save this for the ass hat of the week, man. Sage Steele was going to be enshrined into the ass hat Hall of Shame, man, because of her like, she has a resume of fucking up when it comes to black people and trying to separate herself from black people and elevate herself above black people because of not only her mixed race heritage, but because of her mixed race marriage, and trying to give white people a pat on the back simply for treating her decently. For treating her like a human being, to elevate them as medal worthy because they treated her like a human being. And so, you know, Sage Steele has been in the news quite often lately. She's, and that's part of the problem with Sage Steele. You are a reporter. You're not supposed to make the news. You're supposed to report it, but not be a part of it, so to speak, right? And so Sage Steele is an ESPN personality, man. She was anchoring the NBA coverage on ESPN NBA Countdown. And she's made numerous types of comments about some social issues that have rubbed people the wrong way, right? And so one of the ways, you know, as a black person, one of the ways that you know that you are fucking up as a black person is when Breitbart.com decides that they're going to plead your plight. They're going to have your back on anything. You know you fuck. If Breitbart is fucking with you, you know you fucking up. That's how I look at it, right? So, Sage Steele was removed as the anchor for NBA Countdown on ESPN. She was replaced by Michelle Beadle, who was also hosting a show called Sports Nation on ESPN2, I believe. Now, Michelle Beadle is a white woman. Michelle Beadle is, the last time we really heard anything from Michelle Beadle was during the time of Stephen A. Smith, when Stephen A. Smith was talking about women provoking dudes to hit them. So the irony here is, like, Sage Steele tried so hard to be a white woman, and here she was being replaced by a white woman, essentially, right? That was the irony here. But, of course, like I said, Breitbart has kind of taken up the plight of Sage Steele, and they had a write-up about Sage Steele's removal from NBA Countdown on ESPN. Now, one of the things I will say is this. Of course, I look at this and I see this as, okay, look, the NBA is a predominantly black league. A lot of the people who watch the NBA is a very popular sport amongst black people, along with football. Baseball, not so much. Certainly not really hockey. So to have a person who at this particular point in time has antagonized a lot of African Americans, it's going to have, excuse me, to have someone who has openly antagonized African Americans hosting a show where there are going to be plenty of African Americans can be a bit of an issue. Excuse me. All right. It can be a bit of an issue. So I can see why ESPN decided, like, listen, we don't need any more of these sorts of incidents happening with Sage Steele during the playoffs, because during this time we have the most eyeballs on the game. People are really invested now because there's some skin in it. Like, regular season games, although they're fun to watch, you're really waiting for the postseason to get here, and that's when the real shit starts. That's when the good teams are still playing. That's when some of the best players are still playing. And it starts to count for something. And so, excuse me. And so, she was removed from NBA Countdown, and Breitbart decided to take up her plight. And this is the write-up that they had up in Breitbart.com concerning her being removed from NBA Countdown. I'm going to start from, let's see. I'm going to start from here. It says, Steele committed the cardinal sin of daring to challenge the liberal orthodoxy that racism can only come from whites. While speaking at a conference on race in February, Sage Steele said, "The worst racism that I have received as a biracial woman married to a white man." Excuse me, I don't know what the hell this is. Said, "But the worst racism that I have received as a biracial woman married to a white man, and I mean thousands and thousands over the years, is from black people who in my mind thought would be the most accepting because there has been that experience. But even as recent as the last couple of weeks, the words that I have had thrown at me, I can't repeat here, and is 99% from people with my own skin color. But if a white person had said those words to me, what would happen? And why had Steele become subject to such insults? Steele spoke out against leftists who delayed flights while protesting Donald Trump's executive orders on immigration. She also criticized Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans for kneeling in protest during the national anthem." Of course, no one at ESPN would actually say that Steele was taken off her show due to her political beliefs, nor would such a thing be definitively proved from looking at, on the outside looking in. However, while no one can prove Steele's political views are the reason for her removal from NBA Countdown, it is perfectly reasonable to claim that the reaction to her firing has everything to do with her political views. Now, Sage Steele hasn't been fired. She's still an employee at ESPN. She's actually been moved to other programming. She has, SportsCenter on the road. Currently, she's anchoring the Masters coverage. How ironic is that? She's anchoring the Masters coverage on ESPN. So she hasn't been fired. She's been moved from this particular show to another one. One show that has a particularly large black audience who isn't happy with Sage Steele right now. Now, again, like I said, when Breitbart.com starts to plead your plight and start to give you favorable coverage when it concerns your politics, especially when it concerns race, you might be fucking up. Right? So stay still being removed, I mean, you won't see me crying any tears over it. I don't care for her too much at all. Like I said, she's going to be fuck it. She will be the ass head of the week this week. We're not doing the segment today, but she will be the ass head of the week this week. Let's just put that out there. But it was interesting, man, because the timing I thought was also interesting too. Because earlier this week, man, I was actually watching NBA Countdown. And NBA Countdown, while they were talking about the MVP race, you know, with Russell Westbrook, you know, averaging a triple-double right now. James Harden playing really well. Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs being an MVP candidate. Of course, LeBron James being the best player in the game is an MVP candidate. And, of course, they're talking about Russell Westbrook's averaging a triple-double. And they were doing a story on Oscar Robertson, who was the last player in the NBA to average a triple-double in the NBA. This happened in 1961. So over 50 years ago. This is the last time this happened, which is why I think Russell Westbrook should win the MVP. And if he doesn't, it's a fucking joke. That award is a fucking joke. But they were doing a story and they were talking about some of the racism that Oscar Robertson was facing as a basketball player. And it would have been really odd to have Sage Steele as the anchor on this particular episode. Check this out, man. I want to play a bit of this this interview that Oscar Robertson did while he was on NBA Countdown. Let me see if I can pull this up for you guys. Oh, I still hit the screen share on. There we go. Check this out. Oscar Robertson.
You grew up in Indianapolis. You lived through segregation. You were an all-black high school team that won 2 state championships. I was reading about your experience in college. You received a telegram from the Ku Klux Klan saying that you would be shot if you took the basketball court.
Yes.
I can't imagine going through all of that, but you are now trying to share some of it with an audience through ESPN's The Undefeated. Why do you think it's important that today's generation hear about some of that stuff?
Because they don't believe it. My kids, they didn't believe roots. They went to school in the suburbs, private school. A lot of their friends were all white. They didn't live in a ghetto like I did. Didn't go through the things I did, so they didn't believe it.
Your response to injustice has always been to be vocal, to know who you are and what you wanted. When you see LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony get up on a public stage about social injustice in their era, what do you think when you see NBA players get involved in that way?
I think it's wonderful. I don't think you should go crazy about it. I think you should think about what you're doing and get involved with other people to talk about it and whatnot. But there's some things that go on. You know, just take LeBron and say, I don't like it when some kid is shot 16 times in the street in Chicago and the politicians hold it for a year because they don't want to lose the election. Everyone should be outraged.
I want to talk about some of the other contributions.
All right. Now, how different would that have been had Sage Steele been on the panel while this interview was being played and the discussion afterwards was being played, considering that the attitude that Sage Steele has when it concerns African-Americans, when it concerns protests, when it concerns the grievances that a lot of minority folks have when they're dealing with issues in this country, right? How awkward would that have been? Sage Steele would have saw that particular episode. She would have saw that particular interview. And as they talked about Oscar Robertson being sent a letter or a telegram from the KKK telling him he shouldn't play in that basketball game where they would kill him, Sage Steele would categorize that as, well, you know, maybe that was, you guys are taking this way too far. Okay? What they were doing was showing a level of respect for his game that they were so scared that if he played, they would have no chance at winning. That's what that was. That was a show of respect, not a terroristic threat. A show of respect. That's how Sage Steele, that's how people would picture Sage Steele responding to that or totally dismissing that. Because Sage Steele has made it a point of dismissing a lot of the grievances that black folks have when it comes to America and what we're dealing with today. So, yeah, man, Sage Steele getting booted off motherfucking NBA Countdown. Who gives a shit? Fuck her. Fuck her politics. I don't care. It was a celebration time when they gave her the boot on that show. Yeah, let her do the Masters. Let her do Olympic ice hockey. Let her do fucking figure skating. Keep her away from the audience that she openly antagonizes every fucking chance she gets. Keep her away from that, man. So, Yeah. Sage Steele, move the fuck on. Ass hat of the week this week. Although we're not doing ass hat until Sunday, right? So, another thing, man, that is going on this week, and it has people talking. It has a lot of folks talking. And it's one of the reasons why I named the show today "Like to Be Outraged" and question mark, right? Because Kendrick Lamar put out a song. I believe it will be on his new album. I don't know what the name of the new album will be, but Kendrick Lamar released a new album, and he released a new song called "Humble." And I first heard it because, like, of course, man, you see Kendrick Lamar done dropped something new, and I like Kendrick Lamar. And I'm like, all right, let me go take a listen, right? And on first listen, I'm like, yo, this shit goes, man. This shit bang. Matter of fact, let me play a little bit of that right now. Let's go ahead and play it. Shit, because I'm ready for a party. You ready for a party? I'm ready for a motherfucking party. Here's Humble by Kendrick Lamar.
Wicked or weakness, you gotta see this. Yeah. I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Vanessa nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan where my accountant lives, in fact I'm down in this. Douce with my boo babe tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy a Westie world with my base stuff. Ooh, that pussy good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras?
Alright man, that shit go hard. That shit bang, right? Goes real hard. I was banging and shit in the car on my way home from work, on my way home or on my way to work. Really, like, I liked the song, right? The song, I liked it, right? But there's part of this song that caught some people by surprise, right? That made some people upset, that made some people look at Kendrick Lamar with a little bit of a side eye. Here's that part here. Check this out.
I make a play fucking up your whole life. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch in polo sock. Hey, this shit way too crazy.
All right. So, that part right there, man. I'm so sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me stretch marks. Like, I'll take you down on your mama's couch. Like, that particular part right there set some folks off. Right? Now, here's the thing, man. For me, I understand that this is something that it's an issue for people. One of the things that, like, because I didn't catch this at first. On first listen, I didn't catch it. I didn't even see it as being a negative thing when I first heard it. I really didn't. Maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I wasn't really listening to all that. I was like, I was jamming to the beat because that shit was banging, yo. Like, that's where I was at with it, right? And so I heard the song, and then I started seeing people, you know, kind of, you know, going back and forth on Facebook, going back and forth on Twitter about it. And one of the things that I saw was, you know, of course, there were the women who were feeling like, yo, here is again a dude telling us how to present ourselves in ways that are more favorable to him. And I resent that. And then there was another contingent of people who were just like, yo, man, like, he just trying to big up the ladies, man. He just trying to, you know, like, give you a positive outlook on being comfortable in your own skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then there was the other contingent of people like, yo, can't we just have fun? Right? It's like three different groups, all of them passionate in how they feel about it, right? But what I did was, man, like, I just sat back and I watched. I watched the entire thing, man, because one, I like the song, but two, I understand and I acknowledge that, yo, people have an issue with it, and there's nothing wrong with them having an issue with it. Allow them that, right? Just like you would want folks to allow you to like this song, or you would want folks to allow you to think that this was a positive message for women to have. Right? So I'm listening to the song, and as me not necessarily having a problem with the song, I could also appreciate where someone else is coming from. And this is where listening is a really big thing. Listening is a really big thing because listening allows you to, it allows you to learn something new or to learn about a different perspective, to take something in, let it swirl around in your brain and come up with a different point of view, something that you haven't considered before. Listening helps you to do that. And to a large degree, man, it was like a lot of folks, man, would just, of course, the opinions are flying, man. Everybody's got an opinion, like, and they're flying, and folks want their opinion out there. Like, it's important to them, and they want their opinion out there. But at the same time, listening is important, too. And I listened. And I didn't chastise anybody for feeling a certain way about this song. I didn't pontificate on why you should feel this way or that way about this song. I just sat back and I watched and I listened. And I tried to gain an understanding of where everybody was coming from. But at the end of the day, allowing for folks to feel how they feel about it and not pass judgment on them and not, accuse them of being too PC or being not PC enough or not letting nobody have no fun, right? Because at the end of the day, like the vast majority of folks who, especially when it comes to things like that, like they just want to have fun right now. One of the arguments that I saw was, the Bad and Bougie song by the Migos. I kept seeing this being propagated. You know, folks were repeating this ad nauseum. You know, we're like, y'all like Bad and Bougie by the Migos, but y'all mad at this? You know, I saw that a lot. And like the thing about it is like, yo, there's a different expectation from the Migos than you do from, you have a different expectation of the Migos than you have from Kendrick Lamar. And it's almost the same way then when like folks talk about, say for instance, black on black crime and the police killing black folks. There's a different expectation when you talk about criminals killing each other and black and police killing citizens. There's a different expectation that you have there. You don't have the same sort of criteria. You don't have the same sort of expectations from these two different entities. So can you imagine if Common came out with Bad and Bougie? How many of y'all motherfuckers who like Bad and Bougie would side-eye Common for that? Because you're not expecting that from Common. The same thing with Talib Kweli. If Talib Kweli came out with a song like Bad and Bougie, do you know how many people would side-eye that motherfucker? Like, man, what the hell is you on? This ain't you. You're not expecting that from Talib Kweli. You're not expecting that from Common. But you would expect that shit from somebody like Lil Wayne. Right? The same principle applies here. So trying to compare the Migos to Kendrick Lamar and how women are feeling about this particular song or that lyric in particular, trying to compare the two is a little foolhardy. It doesn't really fit. Right? So there's that, man. I can see how a woman who has issues with a dude constantly trying to tell her how she needs to dress in order to get a man, how she needs to present herself in order to get a man, how she needs to act in order to get a man and or keep a man, how they are tired of dudes telling them what they need to do to get a man. I mean, like you think about Tyrese and you think about Steve Harvey and you think about the constant like the relationship books always being geared towards women and what they need to do to get themselves a man. So after a while, man, like a lot of these sisters are like, yo, man, I'm tired of you motherfuckers telling me what I need to do. How about you better yourself, motherfucker? Why is it always on me to improve myself? Why is it always on me to be what you want me to be in order for me to be with you? Who says I even want to be with you? I see how these sisters feel about that. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that, yo, man, they just not feeling what Kendrick is saying right there. They got an issue with that. They can still like Kendrick as an artist. They can still like Kendrick's music, but they can have an issue with him on this particular thing right here. They can say that, yo, man, like on the women thing, you got some work to do, bruh. And it's not always about being outraged, man. Like, I saw that a lot, man. Folks are talking about outrage and backlash and stuff. Like, no, man, people are just being heard. That's really, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. People are being heard, man. You can't ignore folks no more. Like, before, like, if folks had an opinion, it was relegated to the few people they may have talked to on the phone. Now, when folks have an opinion, They got Twitter accounts. They got Facebook accounts. They got Snapchat. And their opinion is now broadcast all over the world. And if everybody is now watching this particular thing, they're watching this together, they can express how they feel in that moment, and someone else may feel that exact same thing. And so now they don't feel like they're alone. Like, okay, now there's a, this isn't just me. Other people feel this exact same fucking way. Like, I'm not tripping. The internet has kind of brought us together in a way like that. Like, kind of like meshed this whole thing together. So when it came to this song, man, like, although I like the song, I think the song is banging, I am not about to get mad at any woman who has an issue with what he said with that lyric. I am not about to preach to any woman who's mad at what he said in that lyric, because I can understand what she's saying, even though that's not my fight. Right? That's not something that I deal with on a day-to-day. That's not something that I even have to deal with on a day-to-day. As a man, I don't have to deal with that. Now, I could opt out. That's my privilege as a man, that I could opt out and say, you know what, I don't give a fuck. But at the end of the day, I understand, I empathize, and I'm like, yo, man, this is how they feel about it, and that is what it is. How are you going to tell somebody how to feel about some shit that affects them? Right? Who am I to tell somebody how to feel about some shit that directly affects them? Especially when I'm not dealing with it on nearly the scale that they are. So yeah, man, like the song, good song, a little problematic when it came to that. But I mean, at the end of the day, man, like folks, of course we know folks have their lines, man. Folks draw their lines in different places, man. Some things will set people off, some things won't. But you gotta allow for people to be able to feel how they feel about shit without always trying to shut shit down. I get it. You want to have fun. The thing is, you don't want to have to think about a lot of this shit. See, and that's another thing, man. Like, I think people don't necessarily want to have to think about these things. How fucked up the world really is. People want to be able to put their heads in sand, man. Like, if they can like forget about the problems of the world for about 5 to 10 minutes, man, they are good. They want to get away. They want to unplug. You go on vacation. People want to get away from everything. They don't want to have to think about these things, and that's where a lot of that backlash comes from. They have to now think about it. They gotta think about it now, and it is what it is, man. So yeah, man, Kendrick Lamar had folks talking this week when it came to the Humble song, man. Real talk. Now, another thing that had people talking this week, had me talking this week, was Pepsi. Pepsi, man. Now, you know, it's got to be hard being number five. Right? Pepsi was, they put out this ad. And the ad was, I don't quite know what the ad was. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why Pepsi decided that this was something that they needed to do. You know, like, why is this something that, you know, we feel is a good idea? And one of the things that I thought about when I saw the ad, and I'm not going to play the ad. I will have it available on thespanreport.com. I'm not going to play the ad here. But one of the things I thought about was, one, who greenlit this? Two, were there any black people in the room? Three, were there any minorities at all in the room? And four, why didn't they talk to anybody black of consequence before they decided to put this out for public consumption? Because it was fucked up on a number of different levels, right? So you've got Pepsi. And here's the thing, man. And I it's funny because I saw a lot of folks talking about this too. When we talk about being outraged and stuff like that, I saw a lot of folks saying that, you know what, man, this is a positive message, right? They're promoting a positive message. When do we get to the healing part? Why y'all always mad? Why y'all always shooting shit down? We got to get to the healing part. We can't never get to the healing part because y'all keep wanting to put us back into this bullshit victim narrative and all this other stuff, right? I saw a lot of that over the course of the last couple of days. And it kind of irritated the fuck out of me. Real talk, man. Irritated me to no end. So Pepsi does this ad, and it's obvious that it's a ploy to capitalize on the social movements of the day, right? You're going to mimic Black Lives Matter. You're going to mimic the International Women's March. You're going to mimic LGBTQ rights advocates and their demonstrations. You're going to mimic these things, but you're going to sell Pepsi at the same time, right? And so for a lot of folks who don't necessarily get it, because let's be perfectly honest, man, not everybody's paying attention to a lot of the shit that's going on with them. People are busy with their own lives. They're busy with everything that's going on with, you know, with the job, with their kids, with their bills. A lot of times, man, if they're encompassed within that, they don't have the time to maybe see what this particular bill is doing for their healthcare. They may not necessarily have the time to see what this particular policy means for policing in their area and how it can negatively impact them. They don't necessarily have the time. So when this ad comes up and they see, well, it's just trying to show a good message, that's all they care about. They're like, yo, I'm trying to get past all this shit. People are tired. People are weary, man. Right? And I get it. I get it. I talk about this shit. Not, you know, like, I talk about this shit for the podcast sake, but yo, man, like, I get tired sometimes too. I'm like, man, they keep fucking up. The world, man. White folks. Like, everybody. They keep fucking up, bro. Like, it gets weary sometimes, man. It gets really weary. So, I can understand that to a degree. But what I don't understand and what I don't necessarily, what I don't particularly like is the shaming of folks, right? Or the assertion that folks just like to be mad, right? I saw a lot of that. And you can always tell the people who say things like that, the people who say folks just like to be mad, don't really understand the issue, don't understand why people are mad. Have no explanation for it, and that's what they came up with. They just like being mad. Now, I got a question, man. When did being mad become so fucking enjoyable? Who fucking knew? Who knew that being upset was like, man, I am having the time of my life. I am pissed the fuck off. Woo! Who knew? Right? Who knew that being pissed off all the time was enjoyable? Because people just like to be mad. Kind of a ridiculous notion, right? Kind of ridiculous. So I got a little irritated with seeing that. But another thing, man, is I saw someone else talk about social media and you mad because Facebook told you to be mad and it's groupthink and, you know, it's one of those things, man, where like, okay, one, you're insulting people for not being able to think on their own, and you're insulting their intelligence for being upset for something that they may legitimately be upset about. So when we're talking about the movements of the day, when we talk about Black Lives Matter in particular, folks have lost their lives protesting for or during Black Lives Matter protests. Folks have been injured. Folks have been hurt, tear gassed, hit with rubber bullets, taken to jail, traumatized because of the movements of the day, while standing up for the rights of the people, for speaking out against injustices. So you will have to excuse them if they're a little pissed off with some corporate entity that hasn't said a goddamn thing about any of the shit that they're dealing with, trying to piggyback off of their movement to sell some fucking Pepsi. Right? How dare you try to capitalize off of my fucking pain and think I'm not going to say nothing about it? And then on top of that, your main spokesperson also hasn't said shit about none of this stuff, but she's willing to take this check to be a part of this party, be a part of this demonstration. And that was one of the things about this particular commercial that I thought was odd, man. Like, the shit turned into Coachella. It was like, it looked like motherfucking Tupac was on the hologram and everybody was celebrating the hologram at the end. Because she gave him a fucking Pepsi? She gave the police a fucking Pepsi, man? So I'm supposed to believe that Pepsi can solve civil unrest, but they can't beat Coke in a blind taste test? Come on, bruh. Hell, if Pepsi is out here doing that kind of shit, then hell, why isn't Dr. Pepper out here as a Surgeon General telling folks how to get healthy? Why don't we have that? How come Fanta isn't our motherfucking president right now? Running shit. Don't you know you want a Fanta? If this is what we're breaking it down to, like, yo, man, like, all I got to do is have this Pepsi? All I got to do is drink this Dr. Pepper? I'm going to be cool? Is Sprite balancing the budget, my nigga? Because it is effervescent. Let me just say that. It's pretty goddamn good. I like Sprite. Right? But the ridiculousness of it. And it was, of course, like I said, man, there's some people who aren't paying attention. They don't necessarily understand. So I get it to a certain degree. But when you get to a point where you start telling people that they just like being mad because you don't fucking understand, that's where I got the issue, bruh. You don't understand, so therefore the issue is moot. You don't understand, therefore there isn't an issue. That's bullshit, man. Just because you don't understand an issue does not mean that the issue does not fucking exist and that people don't have a right to be pissed off. People don't have a right to be mad about it because you don't fucking get it. And it doesn't cost you a goddamn thing to just step back, sit back, take a listen to understand where people are fucking coming from. It doesn't cost you a dime to listen. But not, no, you know, sometimes people don't have the time to do that, man. They don't have the time to do that. They got their opinion, and that's it. That's all it is about it. And I mean, shit, you can say that about me to some degree on certain things. We all are guilty of it to some degree, sometimes. But on this, it's like, yo, man, just because you don't get it, man, doesn't mean it is not real, bruh. You know, and you start hearing people talk about PC culture, man. Like, people are being PC, like the PC mafia, PC culture, politically correct, man. Let me tell you something, man. Politically correct, or being political correct. Politically correct. You know what that word used to be? Respectful. You weren't being politically correct. You were being respectful. Politically correct is the word motherfuckers use when they want to make respect, being respectful, sound like a bad thing. That's what they use that word for. They want to make it sound like being respectful is a bad thing. You ever notice how people talk about being politically correct when they want to talk shit about somebody else and they're mad that they're not being able to do it because folks are calling them out on their shit? Oh, man, shit. We used to be able to call them trannies. Now what? They just want to be called transsexuals? That's a longer word, man. Like, why I got to call them transsexuals? What's wrong with tranny? What's wrong with he, she? We've been saying this all this time. Now it's a problem. Right? You see that a lot. That motherfucker has a problem with respecting somebody different from him. That motherfucker has a problem with respect, period. Oh, man, we used to call them bitches and hoes, man. Now they mad and shit. You know what I'm saying? They mad if I say it, but they ain't mad if a rapper call them a bitch or a hoe or something like that, man. This is some bullshit. Why I got to... Politically correct. That's what that person would say. Being too politically correct. I can't be a dick to these people. I have to show these people a certain level of respect. That's really what it is, man. You see anybody bitching about being politically correct, it's all about them having to respect something or respect someone or something that they don't understand and they don't like it. And sometimes, man, like you will see people doing this shit and at the same time decry discrimination coming their way, right? So these same motherfuckers, like sometimes brothers, man, be like, man, you know, when it comes to homosexuals, man, there's these faggot motherfuckers, man, and they be taking it in the booty, hot flaming ass motherfucker, man, all this other shit, right? Now you tell them that's wrong, man. That, like, you shouldn't say that, man. That's kind of disparaging against other people, man. Like, you know, how would you feel if like this white man rolled up and called you boy and you're a grown ass man?
And then you go and you see this white man, this old ass white man. Somebody's like, what do you mean I can't call him boy? I don't give a damn how old he is. I don't care. He's a boy to me. He's a goddamn boy to me. You mean to tell me I have to respect that nigger? What the hell kind of world we're living in? It's the same thing, man. It's respect. Being respectful of not only a person, but a thing that you don't necessarily understand, but just being respectful. You walk into a room full of older people and you say hello. You speak. Why? Because that's what you were taught to do. You were taught to respect your elders. And nobody clowns you for doing so. Nobody, you know, calls you a name for doing so. You know it's like the right thing to do. You know, you don't have to walk around calling people fags. You don't have to walk around calling people, you know, any name that you want to call them. Trannies, he, she's, or nigger, or kike, or spick, or whatever. You don't have to call people these names. You don't necessarily have to you don't even have to understand completely everything that they're going through. But you can at least be a decent motherfucking person. That's it. That's all I think being politically correct even means. Be a decent motherfucker. Don't cost you a goddamn thing to be a decent person. So yeah, man, like when it comes to like this ad, man, like even with Kendall Jenner, man, like I know some folks are talking about Kendall Jenner and, you know, being mad at Kendall Jenner being in this particular commercial. Like, listen, she was like, to me, she was like the least notable thing about this particular video, like this particular commercial, man. Like, I wasn't thinking about Kylie Jenner. I thought the whole damn thing was ridiculous. Because I saw it for what it was. Like, yo, like, how the hell y'all figure y'all just gonna sell Pepsi off of this shit? And not only that, man. Not only that. Every time y'all think people being mad, I know sometimes social media, sometimes shit gets lost in translation because it's only words and you can't hear the inflection in someone's voice when they're saying some shit. They're just typing. So you read it how you would think that they're saying it. And sometimes y'all get the shit fucked up. Sometimes people are joking like a motherfucker, yo. I saw so many memes, man. Of people clowning this shit. Like the meme of Malcolm X out there like with the AK in the window talking about some, man, all I got is a refrigerator full of Coke. Bernice King, Dr. King's daughter, talking about some, man, if daddy only knew the power of this Coke of Pepsi. As she has a picture of the police pushing her father. I saw another meme, man, with this one black lady lighting up a cigarette in front of the police, not giving a fuck. Talking about some, man, fuck you and them Pepsis. Man, black people have a way of turning some ugly shit and making it beautiful. We laughed at that shit. Some of that shit was funny as fuck. Right? Black people have a way of doing that, man. Turning some ugly shit into some halfway decent, beautiful shit. Like, to some degree, man, hell, think about it, man. Black people made chitlins edible. Not to me no more, but I'm just saying. You know how I'm talking. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. So yeah, man, like this whole thing about people liking to be outraged. Nah, it's bullshit. People don't like to be outraged. You just don't understand what the fuck is going on, and you letting everybody know it by saying that dumb shit. That's what's happening. And it doesn't cost you a dime. Doesn't cost you anything to stop and listen to another perspective and open your mind up to a line of thinking that you weren't necessarily privy to before. Cost you nothing. Cost you absolutely nothing. So yeah, man, it is what it is. But that is it. For me here tonight, here at the Sparing a Poor Man. Yeah, I got to get out of here. I got to get something to eat. It's getting late and I'm hungry. So yeah, man. But before I get out of here, got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Sparing a Poor. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit that hotline up at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond on the show. And you can call the show live with that number as well, man. So when we're doing it live here on crowdcast.io, subscribe to the show on Crowdcast, man. Real talk. Come join me here live and you can talk on the hotline. We can do all that shit. Chat room, whatever.
go to Crowdcast. But this, hit that hotline up and leave those voicemails and call the show live. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both platforms, Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me, like me there, man. The Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Go ahead and like that boy. The website, www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. You'll be able to watch this show on thespanreport.com, man. This will be on this particular episode. So you can go there, vote in the polls, all of that. That's pretty much it. And so I'm going to get out of here, man. I will see you guys Sunday evening. But until next time, fam, peace.